This is Justin Shorter, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined by Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man, as we are going to be talking about seven aging veterans to buy or sell now in Dynasty Fantasy Football, and or just like Trash Man and I said, some of our guys that we're talking about aren't necessarily aging, but Cody says it's good for the YouTube algo for some reason. So, and in fact, we are indeed all aging. Even though Trash Man denies that he is. What the hell's going on, boys?
It's not me.
We're all aging, and you in particular, Trash Man, you're always aging. We appreciate it.
All right. Before we get into that, let's just talk a little bit about the Stephon Diggs trade. Man, from the Buffalo side, it seems like, God, I mean, they must have wanted him out. They're paying out the wazoo to get him out of there. What does this mean to you? Just like let's start on the Buffalo side. My first thought, and I was doing some testing on the best ball cheat sheet. That's, you know, after the Stephon Diggs deal, that should be up here in the next, I don't know, as soon as our web guy gets it up, it'll be up. So version 1.3, I did some manual tests on it. Dalton Kincaid's ADP has already risen probably a round and a half. We had to do an adjustment on him. Definitely a big adjustment on Nico Collins. But let's start out on the Buffalo side. I think the biggest beneficiary here as of right now is going to be the wide receiver that they definitely draft in the first round and Dalton Kincaid. I mean, just it's Dalton Kincaid to the moon, year two, already shown that he's a favorite target of Josh Allen, you know, has the draft capital, has the talent. Now you get the biggest threat to anything that he was going to do, Stephon Diggs out of there. Cody, what do you think? Dalton Kincaid, should we be taking it? Like, do you think we should be taking him? What about Dalton Kincaid versus Brock Bowers now? And not in Dynasty, but in best ball.
In best ball right now, you know the landing spot for Dalton Kincaid. He's already there. And it feels like right now, the way this team is built, he's the number one option, pretty clear. Of course, Dawson Knox is there behind him, but when you look at that receiving room, it's we're talking about it in our team chat, and it was like Justin Shorter is now the outside receiver for the Buffalo Bills, and we're all projecting them to draft a receiver in this first round, right? So, but as it stands today, it's pretty clear cut that Kincaid's that guy. So, like you mentioned, whoever they draft in the first round and Kincaid, and right now the peer connection is Kincaid with Josh Allen. So, should you draft Kincaid ahead of Bowers? I think 100% in best ball because we don't know where Bowers is going to be. Dynasty. I think there's still a conversation there. Bowers is a ridiculous prospect. But again, Kincaid was kind of looked at not in the same through the same glass last year, but in a foggier looking one. So I don't think it's far off.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'll pull up the roster because Shorter, it does have a different body. So Khalil Shakir has been in the slot, right? And then we know that they brought in Curtis Samuel. We know what he is. He's slot, gadget, you know, not what you would consider, you know, definitely an outside wide receiver. Khalil Shakir did play some on the outside last year. But, dude, this is would there's outside receivers right now if they did go to – we have Snowman in the chat saying that this is a two tight end offense, of course, with Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. But if they – let's say they weren't 12 personnel – would it be Shorter? And I guess they brought in Mac Hollins. Is that what it would be on the outside? Or do you think that they would play Khalil Shakir on the outside?
I think they like Shakir quite a bit. I mean, this is a thing like a couple of years ago with Gabe Davis. Everyone was kind of getting out on Gabe Davis for no reason, and they love him on the internal. And he walked this year, and they love Khalil Shakir. He was their draft pick 2 years ago, and he's gotten more opportunities. As much as I'm not the biggest fan, he was fine at the Senior Bowl. They like him, and
he was everything less they've than pointed fine at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. Less than fine is a good way to put it, but they like him. So we have to trust that for now.
I mean, to me, the Bills are if you can't beat them, join them and then try to beat them. They can't beat the Chiefs. So I think they're trying to recreate the Chiefs offense on the Bills.
What, just by getting rid of all their receivers?
Yeah, having the quarterback tight end be the focal point of the passing game and then working around that. It's a winning combination, apparently.
Does it help James Cook?
I think so. I mean, he's a pass – I mean, he can catch passes. He's a good pass catcher.
Yeah,
I think it gets him more involved in the passing game.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, and I don't know why they wanted to take on like $22.1 million this year or whatever the reporting is. Just, I mean, to me, it seems crazy. I guess that the stuff there were rumors out of Buffalo swirling around that there was unease there and some unhappiness there between the two sides, and I guess it was really true this time. When it isn't always true when somebody takes down their Instagram or takes the team photo off there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but it feels like this time. Yeah, it's crazy.
Nothing new with Stephon Diggs, though. We've seen this in Minnesota. This is really why he left. There was drama there, and the drama started early in Buffalo. So it comes with the pickings of these high end diva receivers.
So what about Houston now? I mean, Nico Collins was being taken at the 1-2 turn. That we were never doing that. It seems to me like you're definitely left holding the bag if you were doing this stuff like people were doing, literally like a week ago, and taking Nico Collins over guys like Garrett Wilson, or even at this point, I'm not sure I'd even take Nico Collins over Stephon Diggs. Now that Stephon Diggs is there in Houston, we're talking to our friend Matty Kiwoom, who you do the hurdle show with, Cody, and who was with us, that people would recognize here on the channel from being with us in Indy. And he was saying he thinks it's good for Diggs to be indoors, be in a warmer climate, because he'd noticed over the last couple of years that in Buffalo he would, and I thought it was a good observation. He would kind of wind down a little bit towards the end of the season. Stephon Diggs still has some good years in him. I mean, we're considering him the wide receiver one there now, right?
I don't know.
Well, I know what you're going to say, right? I know that you're going to say Tank Dell. I do think, Trash Man, we can't say that Tank Dell doesn't take some kind of hit here.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like Tank Dell is more of a big play receiver. I feel like Nico Collins is hurt more than Tank Dell by Diggs' arrival. I mean, the big story here for me is C.J. Stroud. Is he the number one quarterback now? I mean,
well, you can't do that. I mean,
fantasy.
You can project. Well, I mean, you can easily tell yourself a story and spin yourself a tale that he could be, but you can't be taking him as the, what we should be doing is just getting ahead of his ADP. But if you were,
is your question dynasty or seasonal, Trash Man?
Seasonal.
Okay.
I do think it's Trash Man. I do think in the dynasty rankings, we need to get an update for the CJ Stroud stuff. We should get that done today. Just up, like move up CJ Stroud, get him up, right? I think it's
how much higher can you put him?
Well,
I mean, I mean,
I have him at one already. I had him at one before Diggs got there.
Do you have Hurts and Josh Allen ahead of him?
No, it's Stroud, no, Allen, Hurts.
I'm talking to Trash Man.
Oh,
currently,
yeah, I mean. I think it's like you're asking the wrong questions, Trash Man. Like the question is, should he be QB1 in dynasty, not in season long?
And I mean, I think it should be both.
I don't think that's cockamamie. I think dynasty is a layup. Like I said, I had him there before, and now he takes the best weapon away from the other guy that's in the conversation and puts it on his team. And now in seasonal,
we can't move him, but he's going
off. He's got slow.
He's at QB6. If you were to make him QB1, you would get him in every single draft, and you would screw up the whole best ball cheat sheet. Like what we could do is we could move him ahead of Mahomes. We could get him we could get him there with Anthony Richardson and Lamar Jackson, and then have him be where you take him after the wide receiver tier goes off, after you get out of the space where with the Davante Adams and Malik Nabers and DK Metcalf and Mike Evans and Waddle and these kinds of guys. When you start getting down to the, you know, some of these dustier kind of Keenan Allens or like Romo Dunze, where we don't know where his landing spot is, right? That's around the same tier of running backs where guys are going off the board, like Rashad White, Travis Etienne. I think if we moved him up in best ball to that area, we could still get him, but it would completely break ADP to do anything, you know, rash, like make CJ Stroud QB1.
I think your statement's right there in saying putting him quarterback one would break the cheat sheet, but it's like anything else. The cheat sheet's built as you know, for a reason, because you build the damn thing, but we can still think in our heads and rank him. We think he's going to be QB1. We think he should be QB1, QB2. You don't have to draft him at QB1, QB2. It's like anything else, right? If I might rank, you know, DeAndre Swift 10 spots higher than where he's getting drafted, or sorry, 10 spots higher than where he's getting drafted, but I don't have to draft him 10 spots higher than where he's getting drafted. You know, it's just kind of knowing the ADP and knowing how the drafts go. But I think the point stands is that I think that's what you're saying, Trash Man, is that you think he should be QB1 in both as far as where he should be valued.
But you can't take him there. You can't take him there. What you do is you just hold off on quarterback until it gets to be CJ, to, you know, pull CJ Stroud a little bit early. You know,
bingo.
Any Dalton Schultz stuff or like anything like that, you know, anything that.
What about the guys behind him? Like, so in the same Nico Collins conversation, Nico's a free agent, 25. After this year, he's a free agent. Noah Brown's also a free agent. And this is deeper dynasty conversation here is the Mechie, the Xavier Hutchinson conversation, because both of those guys were perceived to getting a bump. At least, you know, you're looking at the top 300, top 350, they're getting a bump, before the Diggs things happen. So now the Diggs things happen. What is the viewpoint on Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson? Also Robert Woods, where does he, is he gone? Is he out of Houston? I think those are all questions I have, as we go kind of go through mini camp and training camp.
Well, yeah. Mechie, I mean, I just had to drop him off the 250 anyway. So it kind of,
yeah, helps. I had to move him. I just had to move him down on the best ball sheet too earlier today. I'm just like, man, I can't take it. I was pumped about Mechie because I thought what it was is just give John Mechie a little bit of daylight. Maybe we'll get to see something like we saw at Alabama where, dude, people were on him as a prospect. I was on Mechie. I mean, it's just out of sight, out of mind, man. The guy gets cancer. It's a horrible thing. And, you know, he makes it back. And, you know, all of a sudden he's in this spot where it, for a while he looked like Noah Brown wasn't, you know, Noah Brown was free at the end of this last year. Maybe the fact that they brought Noah Brown back should maybe tell us something about what they thought about Mechie. I think it certainly tells us something about what they thought about Xavier Hutchinson. All around, man, big things for Houston. Those guys they're doing it right. Nick Caserio is finally pushing all the right buttons. Let's talk about, all right. So do you guys want me to go first with the guy who I think, and again, these are veterans that could get hurt or could get helped by the NFL draft. One player who I think could possibly get hurt by the NFL draft, who is an aging veteran, maybe there are a bunch, but the first one that came to my mind with his ADP right now is Hollywood Brown.
All of them could get hurt.
Hollywood Brown now is being taken around the same time as guys like Chris Godwin, you know, Christian Kirk, Jordan Addison, DeAndre Hopkins, these types of guys. He's being taken ahead of a player like I think now that Buffalo, is completely opened up for the wide receiver spot, it's less likely that one of these super elite receiver options, is going to fall to Kansas City. And I do consider Xavier Worthy in that bucket. I think if Xavier Worthy were to go to KC, that would really, really hurt Marquise Brown, right? I think the fact that they took Marquise Brown makes me think it's less likely that they would take a Worthy, who I'd always dreamed of as sort of the Tyreek Hill in that offense. But I do think that Hollywood right now is being drafted as a dude that looks like he's going to be the pure number one on that team. And certainly if the situation stayed as it is right now, he would be the pure number one, but they could bring in at that point, you know, a Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. I know Cody's not as high on Brian Thomas, but a lot of people are high on Brian Thomas. You know, this kind of player could come in there and really, really, really throw some gum in the works. Right. I mean, of course, you know, none of the top three are going to get there to him, but you know, I do think a Worthy and A.D. Mitchell, a Brian Thomas Jr., all those dudes, if they were to come in, it would take away from the target share that's being projected right now onto Hollywood and this kind of massive rise he's gotten ever since signing with KC. Thoughts?
That's fair.
Okay.
I mean, as far as players getting hurt, I feel like, there's an argument for every veteran getting hurt. I think the more interesting to me was the players who would be helped by the draft.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the ones who are in debt. All right, I'll read you off my list of guys who could get hurt bad, okay? And then we can talk about whichever ones you guys want to get to, and then Trashman can go off script and do the whole show about something that we didn't even prepare for. That's just perfectly on brand. But here are the guys who could get hurt. Chuba Hubbard can clearly get hurt, right? Chuba can get hurt. He might even get swindled by Miles Sanders, but they could definitely draft somebody new. Zamir White, I think, has been protected to some degree by them bringing in Alexander Mattison, what Matt Kelly calls the old meat shield, right? They might feel like, oh, we got Mattison, we're good, we don't need to use it on a rookie. Hollywood, Joshua Palmer is being drafted now as if he's going to be the number one for the Los Angeles Chargers. I think that could kind of, you know, come back to bite him. Very similar situation to Michael Wilson in Arizona. That thing's going to change at number four. And even if they don't take Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers at number four, and Austin Fort does Austin Fort things, they could trade back and still end up getting like Nabers. Cody even had that scenario in his most recent mock draft. I think that Devin Singletary is in a distinct spot where he's being looked at now as, you know, for now, placeholder RB1 for the Giants. But if you just, I was looking at the Giants picks in the draft coming up, and Cody, I think that they have a pick. Where is it? Like they had one that was like the third round. I thought that looked like it was screaming for a running back. So they have number 47 and number 70. Just, you know, I think 47 is probably a little bit early, but that 70 to me screams running back. Gus Edwards, they're not paying Gus Edwards that much money in Los Angeles, and people are acting like, you know, he's going to be the complete lead dog there. But that's another team where if you just look at how the draft falls, right, the Chargers are in a good running back spot here at the fifth pick of day three. I mean, talk about a prime running back spot. There's going to be somebody good that could be the. I mean, could that dude? What if Blake Corum fell there, and Harbaugh could get him?
That's where everybody's looking.
What?
That's where everybody's pointing to.
Okay,
with Corum.
I didn't know that people were pointing. At me.
Well, it makes sense.
I have my finger on the pulse of the cockamamie community that I don't associate with. I think Gus Edwards is in a little bit of trouble. I think that Zach Moss with the Bengals. We're all just talking about him coming in and being the Zach Moss that was the awesome Zach Moss in Indy. You had, what's his name, Tony Sperano's kid there, like really, really, really did a good job with helping to get that offensive line sort of back, you know, not back to what everybody thought it could originally be, but sort of back on the tracks, right? It was a good run blocking unit last year, probably a little bit of a downturn this year with that. But, you know, it's he does look like he's in a great spot to at least kind of be the 1A to Chase Brown's 1B. And we know that Chase Brown can be dynamic, but we don't know whether he can hold up with the volume. And then another, I just think Rashee Rice too. I think both of these Kansas City wide receivers can be looked at as dudes, especially with Rashee Rice's recent legal stuff. You know, there could be I think that last pick of the first round, you know, feels likely to be a wide receiver. And I think that both Marquise Brown and Rashee Rice could get hurt there. So those are my guys who I think who off the top of my head could get hurt. Any thoughts on any of them?
I had a couple more. I just want to dump in there. We were just talking about the Buffalo Bills. James Cook is one that on paper right now, especially with the Stephon Diggs situation, seems like a guy you want to latch on to, but we've seen the Buffalo Bills in Brandon Bean's tenure focus on running back in round 3 and 4. And that's kind of where most of these guys are going to go off, is 3, 4, 5 in the 2024 draft. And behind James Cook right now is Ty Johnson and Darrington Evans. And what they've tried to do in that backfield is have, even back to Singletary Moss, they've liked to have this 220-pound back, whether it was Moss. They tried it with Fournette. They had Latavius Murray, a bigger guy that could come in here and just quietly continue to take carries away from James Cook. I think that that could potentially hurt Cook's perceived value, perceived expectation as we enter the 2024 season. Even if it's down to like around, it sounds stupid, but even if you get down to like the late fifth or early sixth, you get like an Isaiah Davis in there, a guy that we've seen put 1,400 yards on the ground.
I would be worried sick about James Cook if Isaiah Davis goes to that team, because Isaiah Davis can catch, you know, and he's a guy who they can use down at the goal line too. I know that Josh Allen's always a threat down there, but I wouldn't like that at all.
One guy I haven't mentioned that I think definitely should be on this list is Rico Dowdle.
Oh, I mean, it's like he's going to get hurt. That's not a guy who might get hurt. That's a dude who's getting hurt. Which pick is he getting hurt at? Like, what's the exact pick that Rico Dowdle's getting hurt at in Dallas? It is going to be pick 56. Number
56.
That early?
Yeah, I mean, that's right there at the kind of the end of the second round.
It depends if he wants it to be. If Jerry goes, this is our guy. I don't know if it's Brooks. I don't know if it's 56, but
if Brooks, I think they have a pick at 87, right?
Yeah, but that's a big fall. That's late third.
Yeah, he's not going to get well.
So it depends if they're going to go after Brooks,
ACL tear and all this stuff. And we've always talked about how their team doctor knows the most.
Yeah, if it's Brooks, it's going to be 57. If they don't want to go after the top end, they might wait until the fourth. And you know, they've been working out these smaller guys. They might double tap like a Bucky Irving and a Dylan Lobby at some point. And
oh,
some
gosh, stupid- and match them up with Deuce Vaughn. Are you kidding me? They're going to just have the lollipop guild. The lollipop guild. Oh man, come on! What are you talking about?
Couple of the running backs that are out there right now in the world, and potentially you've brought it up before in different shows. But Kyren Williams, if there was a guy like a Jonathan Brooks who got healthy eventually, that would nuke down the line dynasty value for Kyren Williams. James Conner is also one that feels like it's been on the cliff for 3 years now. And Arizona is in a good spot. Monty Austinforth building a good team there. And I think they're right on the cusp. And Connor feels like one of the veterans in the room that's going to continue to be here. But they bring in some young juice. It could really deter that one. And then at the receiver position, one guy that came to mind that wasn't mentioned, Jameson Williams. It sounds stupid, but we talked about it at the combine. The definition of bust is 3 years and you haven't seen anything. And I think Jameson's at 2 years and we haven't seen anything.
Well, do you think that Josh Reynolds leaving might help mitigate that?
Sure. But the question is, and in my last mock, and I'm not just tying this just to my last mock because I put Brian Thomas there and he fell there, and it's not a luxury pick that the Lions can do, but it's what they can do, is they can add another weapon to this offense, and it opens up another avenue to open up that last quadrant on the field, that downfield threat that Jameson is. But we also know he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't been active on the field because he's been suspended. All he needed was that playoff game. Yeah, that's all he needed. And it's just he's going to go for 1,200 every year. I know. And that's the thing I'm worried about is I want to get in on him, but we've seen this story a lot, many times. They have a couple games. And I am just a little worried going into the draft that the Lions do go out and add one of these stretchers in the first three rounds.
So we have a question in the chat. Thanks to everybody in the chat, man. Snowman, Jack Simpson. Was it Jack Simpson who had the or got 32 beat riders? What's up, brother? Who was that? A question. Oh, Kincaid. Okay. Yeah. So sorry. I think we both clicked. Kincaid now over Laporta and McBride. No, see, we don't have it quite like that. But the discussion that we had earlier, and you can listen back if you missed it. But what we were talking about earlier was now with Kincaid, if we need to get him over, what were we talking about? how I had to get him over Bowers, and I was asking Cody if he thought that was the right move. But as of right now, I think that the next question becomes, okay, now does Kincaid? Yeah, I also moved him over Mark Andrews. what do you think of that?
We've seen Mark Andrews weather the storm.
Get hurt too.
Yeah. I just feel like with McBride and Kincaid, a lot is going to hinge on what their teams do in the draft as far as the receiver goes.
I did three drafts today in the big board, right? The $10 one, just kind of testing out some of these changes. And I have to manually test these because we don't have, you know, Underdog simulators the same way that we do for the redraft stuff. So this is just manual tests. I'm just like, just putting money in the old slot machine and just testing these things out for everybody. But the Kincaid did go before Andrews in two of those three today. So is that people being wildly reactionary? Maybe. Yeah. It's a small sample, but I was like, man, I mean, if this is gonna be the case, I don't want to be out on Kincaid. And so if he's gonna be going ahead of Andrews, I have him literally back to back on the sheet, but I did get him ahead. I did not get him ahead of McBride, Laporta, or even Kelsey at this point. But I did move Kincaid to a tier below at tight end four. As we get after the draft, as we know how these pieces fill out, we'll be able to, you know, run better projections and sort of know better. But as far as eyeballing it right now, that's the way it feels to me, and it feels like the best way that the market sentiment's going. Look, if I run more tests this week and it turns out that the Andrews Kincaid thing is throwing stuff off, right, then I'll just switch it back. But I kind of want to get ahead of it right now. I mean, it isn't egregious, right?
No.
It's aggressive.
I'm trying to figure out right now. I'm actively updating my dynasty rankings, and I'm actively trying to figure out where I want to plug him in. And it feels equally as tough trying to project. And that's the big thing right now in best ball is you have to project that perceived value. That's what you're saying. Like you've seen him get drafted ahead of those guys today already. And it's like, what are those guys thinking? Are those people drafting him thinking, yeah, well, they're probably going to do what in the draft? Are they going to take Brian Thomas? Are they going to move back? Are they going to take multiple guys? Are they going to look at this as a 12 personnel most of the time, and they're going to run Kincaid as the alpha? Like, there's a lot really to think about. And I don't know if I trust that offense enough to just say, I understand where you're at, though. You don't want to be out on him. You don't want to miss out on that.
Well, I mean, if that's where he's being taken, I mean, I want in on him. I don't mind. I don't mind taking a tight end in this spot in the draft whenever we're getting down to these play. Dude, what we're talking about when we get into the players, there's a whole teardrop of running backs, and we're talking about the guys that I'm interested in, like ending with this tier of like George Pickens, but Cooper Kupp is in that tier, Roma Dunze, all the rest of those guys. Like, I want those guys. But once we get down to this Amari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, Jaden Reed, this kind of area, right? Zay Flowers, Marquise Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, Alvin Kamara. Like, I want to be taking a tight end there, right? And I can have a choice. I can have a choice in these drafts that I was doing today between Kincaid and Andrews in them, and I was finding myself wanting Kincaid. And in two of the three drafts, Kincaid was taken by others ahead of Andrews. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I don't know, man. It's one of these things where, you know, it's our job to monitor this and to keep it updated. And, you know, the best ball cheat sheet is updated at least weekly. With this, I think I'm going to have to update it again right after 1.3, because after I've talked to these guys, there's a move I'm going to have to make with CJ Stroud. And I think that there's a separate Aaron Jones move I need to make because he's in this tier as well. It doesn't feel like he needs to be in. Like, there needs to be a decision somewhere. If you're past George Pickens and Kupp and T. Higgins and Roma Dunze and all these guys, right? And, you know, McBride's off the board. I think that we need a decision that doesn't involve Pacheco and Ridley and Cooper and Marquise Brown and all this stuff, that involves Aaron Jones and one of these tight ends. So I'm going to need to work on that too. But regardless, all right, so that's how we feel about that. Players that could get swindled. Trash Man, tell us the players who could get helped.
I mean, most of them are quarterbacks, or a lot of them are quarterbacks. First two being Kyler Murray and Josh Allen. I think, you know, we're going to see possibly a sea change in their organizations as far as, you know, receivers go. And I think those are both guys.
The Bills are taking one with their first pick. If there's any market for that you can get, I haven't seen it today. I haven't looked and see, you know, first player taken or position of first player taken. We'll definitely start getting those props, you know, within a week of the draft. But just keep that in the back of your head. You know, if it's even money to go wide receiver, I would definitely say wide receiver. But I think they're not just going to take one. They're probably going to they need to take like three. But one of them will definitely be the lead horse that they take in round one for sure. They're going to get an overhaul.
Yeah. In addition to those two, some players who aren't quarterbacks, I think DJ Moore is somebody who got helped by the draft. I feel like Keenan Allen, I think, is safe. Kind of regardless, you know, if who's playing quarterback, he's possession receiver, he's going to get his targets. I feel like DJ Moore, it's a little bit more sensitive. I feel like, you know, if he gets a guy who can sling it, who can place the ball well, I feel like DJ Moore could really benefit from the draft.
Or he will.
He will.
Yeah. Who else? Is that it?
No. Marvin Mims is another player like Moore, who is kind of dependent on, you know, the quarterback's ability to get the ball downfield and to place it, you know, concisely. I feel like Marvin Mims is one of those players who is kind of been teetering on fantasy relevance for a while now. And I feel like having a, you know, getting a good quarterback in the draft could potentially.
Hold on, wait, Trash Man. You don't think Jarrett Stidham's good? And I know where this is going. I know where it's going, you dirtball. You Trash Man, tell me that you're not thinking about that Texas versus Washington game. Yeah. And tell me you're not thinking about those deep balls that got slung and the precision lasers, the drone strikes from outer space.
You know how I feel about Michael Penix. Byron and me together. We're Team Penix, man.